On today's missionary moment, we had Nathan Beck on the show. Nathan served in the Rosario, Argentina mission, and he had some really fun stories to share with all of us. Seemed like he really enjoyed his mission, and it was really cool to hear how it's impacted his life. So here he is, Nathan Beck. Nathan, thank you so much for coming onto the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Excited on this Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Special edition.
Special edition, that's right.
I just got a giving up for my mom today. She didn't serve a mission, but I feel like her entire life has been a mission. She sent three boys for a mission, waited for my dad while he was on his mission. And without her faith and just the way she's lived her life so faithfully, I don't think all of us would be as blessed as we are. So thanks, Mom. Love you. Happy Mother's Day.
So you served in the Argentina mission. Which one exactly?
Rosario.
Rosario, Argentina. Very cool. So what was your experience like when you received that call that you're going, you know, south of the border down to South America?
Oh, man. Being from Southern California, I just expected it to be like Mexico. And I had really no idea what Argentina was like, really, until I got there. But I was just super excited. I really wanted to go foreign, and that's what I got to do. So I was excited.
Super exciting. Did you end up going to the Mexico MTC, or did they send you down? Does Argentina have MTC there? I forget.
I think they did have a small MTC at the time, but I went up to Provo.
Oh, really? Were you waiting for like a visa or something, or just... that's where you went?
Yeah, we were waiting for visas. Wasn't that big of a deal. Argentina's not too hard, but yeah, that's what happened.
Very cool. And then you ended up, you know, after your training and trying to speak Spanish and whatnot, you get there. Was it tough to learn the language, just being immersed in it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was feeling a little bit confident in the MTC. But yeah, once I got out to Argentina, it didn't sound like Spanish at all. I think the way their accent is out there, and their dialect, they have a different way of conjugating verbs. It sounds more like Italian, I think, than Spanish, than Mexican Spanish, the Spanish I'm used to being from California. But yeah, it took a while. It took me like 6 months before I was really confident. But I had American English speaking companions at first, so that helped. And
yeah, that does help. Very cool. And what about, like, what's a memorable experience that you had just when you were starting off your mission?
Just the culture shock, really. Just going somewhere and having a new identity, you know. I'd never been a minister, you know, a missionary, had a calling from God to go teach people. I'd never had that before. So a new title and a new purpose. And then being put into a crazy culture that was super foreign to me also. And then the language barrier. And it's just a different country. It's, I'm from a nice area in California, and going out to Argentina, things are different. The economy is different. The politics are different. The streets look different. The houses. I don't know about a specific. Well, okay. One just popped into my mind. My first lesson, I was just reading my journal the other day, was to Graciela, and I forget the other lady's name. They just happened to contact them, but we went into just this, it was just the most ghetto house I've ever been in. And that was really that was the way we taught my entire mission, was just in these houses, unlike anything I'd ever seen before here in the States. But I just remember I was trying so hard to focus on what I learned in the MTC and to say my part of the first vision or the first lesson the best I could. And I just remember a chicken pecking on my foot as I was giving the lesson in their house, which was, I think, just one room, dirt floor, couldn't even really stand up straight. It wasn't high enough, but I just remember, keep it together, even though this chicken was all over me.
That's pretty funny. Tell me about an experience you had when you were tracking in the streets of Argentina.
Oh, man. Yeah, so many sketchy things, but great experiences too. Really, the way we did it in our mission back then was we were just looking for the elect. So, and that was pretty much the way we found people on our mission too. So we talked to everybody and we just ask them right out the gate, hey, sometimes even just, are you the elect of God? Or, you know, and if they showed interest and jumped in, usually that was a good sign. And we teach them a ton of lessons and move towards a conversion. But lots of rejections too, just like anybody. But I just remember Heavenly Father looking out for me. There was this one time we were on a street corner, we were walking down, and I looked off in the, this is a really sketchy neighborhood. And I looked off in the distance and I saw this group of guys and they're all giving us this weird look. Didn't look like a friendly group. And we were knocking these doors and I was for sure that they were going to do something as we were getting closer. They were just staring at us. And luckily we knocked on this door and they let us in right then. And I remember being so happy and teaching this family and then coming out. I don't think anything happened with teaching them other than it was a fun discussion. But when we came out, those guys were gone. I was so happy that, I don't know, I just felt like that happened time and time again when I was in Argentina.
You're always being looked out for, right?
Yep.
Tell me something that was actually just tough for you to adjust to, something that you never really got used to while you're out as a missionary.
Probably companions. Like I must have been one of those companions that the mission president had to move me around a lot because I had a bunch of different companions out there. But I was always so happy whenever transfers were coming, no matter how cool my companions were. Even the coolest companions I had, and I had some really cool ones. When it was time for transfers, I was so ready to move on. Just 6 weeks or 12 weeks of being with the same guy 24/7 is, I don't know.
It can be tough, huh?
Yeah, that one's probably on me, probably I am. But that's one thing I never got used to is being around somebody that amount of time.
Okay, so let's dig into this topic a little bit, because this is one of those things that, I mean, missionaries, everyone can relate to. It's something that, you know, like you said, you're stuck with someone 24/7. You're never alone as a missionary, except for like when you're in the bathroom, right? But yeah. What would you do, I guess, to find that personal time or that moment to be able to just be with yourself, and even when you have like an annoying companion or something like that?
Oh man. Yeah, it was hard not to lose it. But I don't, this might be bad advice or good advice, but I looked back in my journal just prepping for this. And that's one of the reasons I was so excited to do this, just to look back at my mission. It's been 11 years and I haven't really looked back at my mission too much, and I don't talk to people from my mission very often or hardly ever at all. And so it's almost like this fantasy thing that happened because there's nobody in my contact now. But because I was doing this, I had to go back and look in my journal. And in my journal, getting back to the topic, I put a lot of, I think that was my therapy session right there with my companion. Because unfortunately, I was looking for some inspiring experiences and stuff, but all I could find way too much of what I found was my companions annoying the heck out of me. But honestly, I think it's better to, you know, vent it out that way than to tell him. And, you know, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, it's probably terrible.
So looking back on those companions, how can you see that they've, I guess, helped you with, you know, whether it be marriage or whether it be just relationships and business or something like that?
You learn to get along with people. I I don't know. It was tough. I had some companions. Yeah. I mean, we did the work. That's what kept us together. We just focused. I'm talking about it like we were married or something, but I mean, we would just focus on the work, focus on the people. We both had a love for the people, a love for the work, a love for the Lord. That's what kept us together. My mission president, I remember him talking to me about that too. Like, treat your companion like you're going to treat your wife someday. And I was like, that's a little different, but I mean, it came from my mission president, so it had to be good advice, but yeah, patience. People are different. Nobody thinks exactly the same. And when you're with somebody 24/7 for 12 weeks, those differences start to come out a little bit. But yeah, if you focus on the work and love for the people, man, you get right over that and you get a lot of good stuff done too.
Absolutely. All right, Nathan, tell me about a miracle that you experienced out in the field.
A miracle. I mean, probably just seeing people's lives change. And I feel like that's what the gospel does, just to a lot of people who just come out of, you know, just poverty and difficult circumstances where they never had opportunity and they didn't have a good support system and they didn't have people around them. And then as the missionaries come in there, you teach them about the gospel, you teach them about Jesus Christ, you give them a purpose, you know, teach them that they have worth, that they're sons of their Heavenly Father. And as they start to understand these things, that's the biggest miracle to me that I was able to see just time and time again. You see people without the gospel and then see them with the gospel. And it's just such a contrast. You know, I feel like there were good people before the change, but they just needed, once they had the gospel surrounding them and helping them and understood just the gospel, they were able to progress and be so much happier. Nothing really specific, but I'm seeing so many faces right now of people just that you can see it in their eyes and the way they act before and after.
So tell me about one of those investigators or someone that had the biggest impact on you in the mission.
I remember there's this one family we were meeting again in a super ghetto area. That's another thing. I was in the ghetto of Argentina the whole time. Not all of Argentina is this ghetto. I just happened to be in the outside of these bigger cities. But there's this guy named Mario, and we were teaching his family, his wife and his kids, and he would poke his head in, and he was tough. You could tell he came from a tough background. Life wasn't easy for him. Life was tough. He's trying to keep his family together, trying to feed his kids, living in just poverty. And he was a good guy. It was a young family. And then as we taught a few lessons, and he would kind of poke his head in. And at first he was kind of prideful, but after a while he started stopping in and started listening. And pretty after a while we were teaching him, and it was just so much fun to see. I don't know, just to see him open up to us and open up to the idea of Christ and the church and start to come to church and to different things. And I was transferred before that family to see what happened, but I'm pretty sure they ended up getting baptized. I'm not sure, but I think I heard from other missionaries. But that was just a cool experience with Mario. He was just such a rough guy, but I don't know, maybe he wasn't that rough, but he just to see the change in him once he started coming around, that made an impact on me.
Tell me about a funny story or funny experience you had.
So in Spanish, when you go to someone's doorstep, you say, "Hello, somos misioneros." We're missionaries. Misioneros is missionaries of the church. And then, you know, and you're in your white tie and your shirt, you're the nicest dressed person in the entire villa. That's the word for ghetto in Argentina. And you and your companion. But this is just the famous story. This always happens in Argentina. The word for millionaires is misioneros. I don't know. Someone might have to.
Oh, that's really similar. Say the two together again.
So misioneros is missionaries, and misioneros are millionaires. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
That's from what I remember. But anyways, a few times you hear stories of missionaries going up to the doorstep and saying, "Hello, we're millionaires from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Would you like to hear our message?" It was a great door approach. Worked almost every time, but anyways.
They for sure wanted to hear what you had to say, right?
Exactly.
It's funny. Were there any intense situations you were put in out in Argentina, or anything like really scary?
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome. I'll just preface it with, as a missionary, man, you're fearless. And you should be. You have nothing to fear.
Completely. Oh, yeah.
You're on the Lord's errand, man. So you feel so confident walking into these dangerous areas, probably more confident than you should be. But, I mean, we were held up at knife point a few times. I had my shoes stolen. One guy pulled a shotgun. I think he was just loaded on drugs and pulled a shotgun on us. And my companion was this Argentine, really a bold missionary. And he was like, "No, we're here." And I was like, "Elder, he got a shotgun in your face, man. Just let's just get out of here." And I took off and left him on the doorstep, and he was there for another 10 seconds. Luckily, nothing happened.
just bearing his testimony.
Yeah. Well, we were actually looking for somebody behind his house. He's like, we're not trying to bother you. We just want to know if so-and-so lives behind here. And anyways, that one turned out okay. But there's this other time, we went to some kind of a zone conference or something. And we wanted to get back to our area because we had this family who was really progressing. We had a meeting, an appointment set up with them. We wanted to get back to teach. But the buses were delayed. And I was getting so upset. Me and my companion, we were like, why are these buses delayed? We were like, Heavenly Father, come on, help us out. We got this awesome family. We got an appointment set up. We want to get back and teach them. Anyways, the buses ended up being super delayed. We didn't get there till the next day. And so first thing the next morning, we were so upset. We went over to their house and we said, sorry, we missed this important appointment. They ended up telling us that there was a shootout in that neighborhood. Some gangs, I don't know, had a shootout, and I forget how many shots they said were fired, but Heavenly Father was protecting us, and I thought that was pretty amazing. And I was all upset, you know, like, why would we not be able to teach this awesome family? We're working so hard to get to them, but Heavenly Father.
Little did you know.
Yeah, looking out.
So you mentioned you got your shoe stolen. How did that happen?
Oh man, so I was actually on splits with the assistant, the AP is the assistant to the president. And we were just crossing this bridge, and down below the bridge, there's just this ghetto down in this ravine and this creek, just a bunch of just poverty down there. And we'd seen a few people get robbed on the bridge. But anyways, we went to go contact this guy coming across the bridge, just a really small little passageway right there. And as we went to contact him, he stuck out a knife and he asked for our wallets. We gave him our wallets, but then, I mean, we were missionaries. There's like a peso in there. And then he saw my shoes, and I was wearing my nice shoes too, because I was on splits with the AP, and he
had to look good.
Yep. And so I gave him my nice shoes, and I walked home barefoot, but we were pretty close anyways. But yeah, no bikes, no cars in my mission. Didn't drive for 2 years, but yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Why do you believe that you were called to the Rosario, Argentina mission? Why was Nathan Beck specifically called to that mission at that time?
Oh man. Again, I'm just seeing the faces of the people I taught. Maybe I was the one to teach those lessons. And then, I mean, the other big part of your mission is what it does for you. And I just think Argentina just left an impression on me, and well, just doing the Lord's work in Argentina, that, I don't know, it changed me. It made a huge, huge impact on who I am now, just going through those experiences for 2 years.
What do you feel, looking back on your mission now, how do you feel it's changed you, I guess, as, you know, like a husband or a father, or, you know, even your career?
Well, as far as my career, it's huge. I'm in healthcare. It's huge for me to speak Spanish. And so that's been a major stepping stone getting into dental school. They love the fact that I speak Spanish pretty much that's been huge every step of the way. They say, oh, wow, you speak Spanish fluently. That's huge. You learn work ethic. You learn to be focused when you're on your mission. You know, you can't get distracted. You learn how to schedule, how to plan things out for the week, how to set goals, and how to get where you want to go. Those are all huge things I learned.
What would you say the biggest highlight of your mission was?
I don't know. I loved one area I served in. Gosh, I can't even remember the name of it. I don't talk to people from my mission very often.
That's all right.
But it was just an area where we got to teach a ton of people. We saw quite a few baptisms. And again, it was probably the most ghetto of all the areas I was in. But I absolutely loved it, man. I don't know. The word was strong there. A lot of faithful members and just a lot of people willing to listen to the message of the gospel.
if you could give advice to a missionary going back to your mission to serve, what would it be?
I like the analogy of leave it all out on the field. Thrust in your sickle, just do everything you can. You only get 2 years to be a missionary, and those 2 years will impact you, and it'll just be like a launch pad to take you places after your mission. Launch pad for everything, for having a family, a career afterwards. And it's like a power boost. It just helps you get all those things. So just go for it. You know, don't let a minute go by of your mission. I remember so many times just looking around, and even though it seems long while you're out there 2 years, I remember just looking around being like, wow, I am in Argentina on my mission. And I remember I tried to take a snapshot in my brain just to hold that moment. And, you know, it gets monotonous sometimes, you know, when you get a lot of rejections or your schedule falls apart. But yeah, just go for it and take advantage of every minute you can. And it's going to be so worth it for the rest of your life.
All right. Final question. If you could describe your mission in 3 words, what would they be?
Do the Lord's work.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. There you go. Just go for it.
All right. Well, Nathan, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on to Missionary Moment. And yeah, it was awesome. Really enjoyed all your stories.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nick.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
That's it for today's Missionary Moment. I hope you guys all enjoyed what Nathan had to say. And it was really cool to hear that he's keeping up with his Spanish and that he actually gets to use it all the time in the career path that he chose. So just goes to show what types of impact spiritually as well as temporally that a mission can have for you. If you or someone you know has some amazing mission experiences like Nathan, please sign up for an interview, either over the phone or face-to-face. We love to hear all of the incredible experiences that missionaries have all around the world. That's it for today, and we'll see you next time on Missionary Moment. Choose the right.